Good morning, Boker Tov. Welcome back to Parsha Perspectives for today. As always, we begin with gratitude to our generous Parsha series sponsors, Becky and Avi Katz and family. In memory of Becky's father, our learning Shabbat Le Nishmas, David Grossman, David Ben Menachem Manish. This morning, we're also honoring the Shloshim in the memory of Sander Aryeh Ben Zev Dov, grandson of our beloved Murray and Faye. He should have comfort and strength, nechama, during this impossibly difficult time. His neshama should have an aliyah as we mark his Shloshim through our learning together. If you have a cell phone here, it's fantastic. Please turn it off. Please turn it to vibrate. Please try to help make it not disturb anyone throughout the year. We're on page 124. We have the privilege and pleasure this morning of learning Parshas Toldos, the beginning of our forming of a family, which then will become a nation, a people. And the Parsha picks up where we left off. Yehuda told us Yitzchak ben Avram. Avram Holidus Yitzchak, these are the legacy. This is the story of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. Rashi has a very enigmatic, very strange, somewhat peculiar comment here on this pasuk. Rashi tells us, who are these toldos? What is the Torah telling us? Rav Avram Shor in his new sefer, Nezer HaParsha, has a beautiful description of it. Quotes from his grandfather. From his father, rather, from the Or Gedaliahu, about this. What is Rashi really getting at? Eila told Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram holy to see. It's like says Rashi, Yaakov, Esav, Amurim, Paparsha. Who are the offspring? Who are the progeny? Yaakov and Esav, whom we'll meet in the Parsha, who are spoken about in the Parsha. The Or Gedaliahu wonders, what in the world did Rashi just add? When Rashi has a comment, he's answering a question. When Rashi has a comment, he's solving a problem. What problem did we have with, these are the offspring of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. We know who the offspring are. They're Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov and Esav, Amurim Baparsha. Ma hosiv apshuto shemikra. Echay nichon lefarish bofen acher. How else could you have explained who these toldos are? So, the allusion, the hint is in the letter Vav. Ve'ela toldos. The fact that the letter Vav, it doesn't say these are the offspring, it says, and. We were all taught never to begin a sentence, never to begin a paragraph with the word and. Basic English. Don't begin with the word and yet. The Torah here with the letter Vav, Ve'ela toldos, the Vav is beginning with the word and. And these are the offspring. In that letter Vav is the answer to the question, which I'm not going to tell you right now, because it is a long and beautiful essay, but it is not for now. Ve'ela told us Yitzchak. Rashi also tells us famously, why do I need to be told Yitzchak is the son of Avram? Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. So Rashi, another famous Rashi tells us because of the Leitzanei Ador, Aideshikos of Yitzchak ben Avram, Hosakulam Avram, Alidus Yitzchak. She'er Leitzanei Ador, Omen me'avei melech nis'abra saro. There were the scoffers and the cynics, the clowns and the jesters, the sarcastic people of the generation who challenged Yitzchak, not the son of Avram. Do you have any idea how old Avram was when Yitzchak was conceived and born? He can't be the father. Who is the father? We all know Sarah was, chas v'shalom, cavorting with Avimelech. Avimelech had his eyes on Sarah. So who's the real father? Avimelech. How many years did Sarah live with Avram? No child. So how did Hashem respond? How did he answer? He made Yitzchak be the spitting image of Avram. When everyone saw Yitzchak, they said, you look just like your father. I was so confused for a minute. I thought it was your father. I thought I was talking to Avram. Hashem makes a miracle that Yitzchak is the spitting image of Avram in order to preclude, in order to offset this terrible thing that the Leitzanei Ador, that the cynics and scoffers of the generation said, namely that Avimelech was the father. So I told you recently my cousin came out with a new sefer, Adir Ha'Torah. He had a former sefer, Arzei Alevanon. My cousin, Rav Aryeh Ganz of Lakewood. So in his new sefer, Adir Ha'Torah, he says the following. Tzorachin, hayakan leitzanes ba'alma. These leitzanes ador. Shoyako yadu shanesh asar, he said, gedola yusar mimasha olid Avram. Avram olid banu lefnei leidas Yitzchak. V'gam acha leidas Yitzchak. Masha inkein sara loholid, rak osa pam achas, biyosa bas tishim. He makes a point I never thought of. I wonder if you did. We know at the end of last week's parsha, Avram is giving birth to children left and right. God bless him, into old age. Avram, triple digits, still having kids. Unbelievable. Beautiful. He's having many children with Keturah, Hagar, who lives past Sarah. So, and meanwhile, Sarah's the one who only has one child and it took her till she was 90. So if people were to look back and wonder, where was the fertility problem in this union? Was it with Avram or was it with Sarah? Avram has a Yishmael, and Avram is popping out lots of other children now through Keturah, through Hagar. So who's the source of the problem? This Leitzanos makes no sense. It's illogical, it's irrational. Even the cynic and scoffer who wants to plant seeds of suspicion and controversy, it's illogical. Im kein mehechi teis lomar shanas Avram me'ave melech. If in fact she gave birth to Avi Melech, you didn't make the miracle smaller. Sarah is the one with the miracle. This was Stam Leitzanus. So if these cynics and scoffers are offering Stam Leitzanus, they're just making fun, they're just being Stam cynical, why did God have to respond with a miracle? Why did he have to make Yitzchak the spitting image of Avram? There was never a real suspicion. There was never anything to it. If anyone would analyze, if anyone would investigate, if anyone would actually bother to check it out, rationally, logically, they would realize that Avram has a lot of children. He's not the source of the fertility problem. Surely Yitzchak is his son. Sarah's the one the miracle occurred through. They would never actually have validity to this contention that it was Avimelech. So why did Hashem have to make a miracle? If it's Stam Leitzanus that makes no rational sense, why did God need to make a miracle? And here he's quoting from Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, the Rosh Yeshiva of Brisk. Mavur kan da'afsha achshav ha'Leitzanus ba'alma mikomakom berabos ha'yamim yishapech l'metzius v'yeh kan das ha'kahal gamur. And why did the Dvar Torah speak to me? Why did this make it into the Parsha perspectives for today? Because this is exactly what we're seeing. The entire phenomenon of social media, political pundits, social commentaries, they all begin this way. The whole phenomenon that we're seeing right now that is tragically dangerous, the splintering in the conservative movement on the right, I'm just asking questions. The whole movement and methodology of Tucker Carlson and his ilk, I'm just asking questions. I'm just asking questions that maybe Epstein was really an agent of Israel. I'm just asking questions. It's just Stam Leitzanus. I'm just asking questions. It's true if you investigate. It's true if you think logically and rationally, you would dismiss it. It makes no sense whatsoever. There's no evidence for it at all. But the Leitzanus, that planting of seeds, it's pernicious. It penetrates. It transforms people's anchor, what they think. And goes from, I'm just asking questions, and the next thing you know, there's a whole movement of people who believe it. This is not new. What we're seeing and what we're suffering from, what we're experiencing. Maybe Hashem responded, because today Twitter is down, as are millions of websites, because of the host. This is a little hint, what could happen in our life and in our world. But some, I don't know how it works, some internet host of these websites, millions of sites are down, including Twitter. Trying to follow what happened in Gush Etzion this morning. Our heart goes out to the family of those who were injured. A 30-year-old man was stabbed and killed. A terror attack in the Gush Etzion, Tzomet HaGush, where there have been way too many terror attacks. We daven. Try to find out what's happening. The fastest news source is X, is Twitter. But it's down. It's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu shut it down. The Leitzanei Hador have been silenced. Maybe that too is a miracle in our time. But this methodology, what we're seeing today is nothing new. Avram also suffered from it. The Leitzanei Hador, the Stam Leitzanus, Yishapech L'metzius, that I'm just asking questions, cynically asking questions, planting seeds, it becomes the new truth, the new reality. And people plant wicked seeds. Tucker, Dave Smith, Candace, Kazehu Chosim HaLeitzanim, Shem Yechol L'Hapach Dover Leitzanus, L'Dover Sha'akol Omrim Alav, Shu Emes Gamur. It starts, I'm just asking questions. It's Stam Leitzanus. I'm just asking questions. And then it becomes an MS Gamur. Vein afil misha yipakpek balamito. And nobody's even questioning. Nobody's even challenging. So dangerous. So risky. that the Ribbono Shel Olam has to respond, and he makes a miracle to offset the Leitzan Hayador. You'd say to yourself, for that he makes a miracle? Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make miracles stam. The Almighty doesn't suspend the rules of nature for no reason. If he does, it's because he sees something as a threat, as a danger. That is the danger. So the Brisker Rosh Yeshiva says that's the danger of the Leitzan Hayador. Stam Leitzanas, it's irrational, illogical, makes no sense. I'm just asking questions. I'm just asking questions. Maybe Epstein, maybe this. What if? Who controls who? Why that? Maybe this happened for that reason. Stop asking questions. But that Leitzanus turns into an MS, so dangerous and such a threat that the Ribbono Shel Olam himself needs to respond. What happens? Yitzchak is 40 years old when he takes Rivka, the daughter of Besuel, the sister of Lavan. Lowly Isha, Vayatar Yitzchak Lashem Linochach Ishto Ki Akarahi. Yitzchak is davening to Hashem Linochach. We'll have to translate in a moment what Linochach means for his wife Ki Akarahi, because she's barren. Vayaseh Lo Hashem Vatar Rivka Ishto, and Hashem's will is transformed, and indeed Rivka conceives. What is this word Vayatar Hashem? What is this word Vayatar Hashem? So, let's go through several interpretations. Where should we start? Ve'atar Yitzchak Lashem Lenochach Ishto. Rashi says, Ze omed bezav zeh umespalal. Bezu omed is bezav zeh umespalalas. The word is simply trying to paint a picture. Right? This drama is unfolding before our eyes. And the Torah is painting a picture. Rivka's in this corner. Yitzchak's in this corner. Not two heavyweight fighters who are coming to fight each other. Two heavyweight righteous people who are coming to pray. This one's in this corner davening, that one's in that corner davening. Why do we care? We painted a picture, the drama is helpful, but why do we care where they stood? So the Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, interprets differently. Lenochach bishvil. Opposite doesn't mean their posture or physically where they're standing. Opposite means on behalf of. Yitzchak is davening for Rivka. Yitzchak's davening lenochach ishto for Rivka. Why for Rivka? He himself, he didn't want a child too? So the Chizkuni elaborates. Yitzchak's not worried. And why is Yitzchak not worried? Ki bi Yitzchak yikar lechazara. Because the Torah promised, Hashem promised, through Yitzchak, there'd be a continuity. So Yitzchak says, I just have to look at my father. He struggled for a long time with my mother. My mother was kind enough to allow for Hagar so that there'd be a Yishmael. So if Rivka, it doesn't work out, I'll take also my Hagar. And I know ki bi Yitzchak, yikar lechazara, it's going to go through me. I'm good to go. I'd prefer it to be with Rivka. If it's not with Rivka, it'll be with someone else, but I'm good to go. So says the Chizkuni, Yitzchak's not worried about himself. For whom is he davening? Lenochach ishto. He's davening for Rivka. He wants it to be through Rivka. So why does it say Ishto? Why doesn't it name his wife? It should say Vayeser Yitzchak Lashem Lenochach Rivka. We know it's Ishto. Why simply use the pronoun his wife? Why not spell out who it is? So the Svarno jumps in. The Svarno, anticipating this question, writes Lenochach Ishto. Afa pisha huftach azer shir shispal lekel yisparach shitin lo osazer mizos aguna nitzavis nochacho. Yitzchak davened that his children would come from Rivka, the most suitable wife for him, Ishto. Whoever else you're going to find, whoever will be the backup, whoever will be the understudy, it might help me have a continuity. That's not my wife. My Basher, Ishto, that's my Rivka. So the Nochach, he's davening opposite of the one he feels is his most suitable mate, Ishto. Namely, who is that? That's Rivka. So far we've seen Rashi, and we've seen the Rashbam, the Chizkuni, the Sforno, four interpretations of what the word lenochach means. But lenochach can mean something else. Lenochach can mean something more. Something more. The Radak writes, lenochach ishto, ki b'shas ha'tfila hayomid lenochacho kedei sheyechavin libo aleha. Yitzchak davened opposite her. Why? Because in order to be able to most authentically, sincerely, genuinely daven for her, he had to feel he's standing opposite her. He had to see and feel her pain. She's not an idea. Her name is written in someone's app group. She's not written on some petek, some note on the bulletin board in the yeshiva or the entrance of the shul. Please have in mind four tehillim. She's not just some name in a group, on an email chain, on a bulletin board. He's standing lenochach. You want to daven for someone? Then you have to empathize. You have to feel their pain. You have to know their plight. You have to understand their agony, connect to their torment. You have to know what they're going through. That makes the davening more sincere, more real. Why? Because you're no longer davening only lenochach for them, but when you feel what they're going through, now you're davening for what? Now you're davening for you. Now you're nose ba'ol im chavero. You're not just sympathizing with, but you're empathizing. It's not the other person's pain, but it becomes your own. It's a pain which is lenochach. It's a pain which is lenochach. It's opposite. It's opposite and it's for. And that's the reality in our lives when we think about the people who need and demand the moment, our tfilos. We should familiarize ourselves with their story, with their plight, with their pain. The more we know, the more we understand, the more we can connect, the more we are lenochach, then the deeper our feeling will be, the more authentic, the more real it will go. The Ach Pri Tvua. I like to quote the Ach Pri Tvua. I've been telling you we went to Liska this past summer, the Liska Rav, Ratzvi Hirsch of Liska, who was the Rebbe of? Until you can say, I'm going to keep telling you. Rabshayla Kerestir. The great Rabshayla was orphaned at a young age, went to go live with the Liska Rav, the Ach Pri Tvua, and became his Talmud, his student, before he himself became a Rebbe. Rabshayla of Kerestir, and now we have, shuls have coffee corners in his memory, all over, all because of the Ach Pri Tvua. And then Reb Shaila, he says the following. Listen to this insight. He says, "Vayata Yitzchak lenochach ishto, Yishlom arkeven diYitzchak avinu achaz b'midaso midas hadin." Yitzchak is characterized by what quality? Midas hadin. Midas hadin is strict justice. Imkain lefiza ein shayach etzlo shum tefila. If you're all about din, then you're not about davening. Why? If you're about justice, then whatever Hashem is giving you, whatever Hashem has determined for you, that is the din. That's what you deserve. What, are you going to go argue with the judge? Please find favor, be kind. Please bend the rules, be flexible. If you're all about justice, you get what you deserve. If you get what you deserve, you're not about davening. Last week's parsha, he's davening in the field. It must be that that's not a davening of request, that's a davening of gratitude, of praise of Hashem. But you don't ask Hashem to change his mind because that would go, that would run counter din. In Magiela Mitzara Din, if you deserve, then you don't need to daven. If you don't deserve, then davening won't and shouldn't help. So Yitzchak, who stands for din, is not davening. He doesn't want some handout. He's all about din. He's all about earning it. Says the Liska Rav, he's davening for Rivka, she's about chesed. I'm about din. So there's no reason you should change your mind for me, because if I deserve it, I'll get it. If I don't get it, I didn't deserve it. I'm not trying to influence you with davening. But she's about chesed. So for her midah, chesed, you can appeal even through davening. Azay zokt, the Ach Pri Tvua. That is what the Liska Rav has to say. That's interpretation number 5 or 6. I lost count. The Siach Sarfei Kodesh of Burma Pshischa, he says the following. He says, "Vayata Yitzchak Lashem Lenochach Ishto." He quotes Rav Yaakov David of Amshinov. V'chi lohaya lo Yitzchak Avinu Makom Lespala Rak Lenochach Ishto. Amar Aperishu Hine Rivka Tzadikas Hayis Mispala Shetana Beschus Yitzchak. Yitzchak Mispala Shiana Beschus Rivka. Ki Alav Ein Revusa Shetzadiku Aviv Gamken Ei Tzadik. Rivka Shayis Abas Roshu Amda Betzikasa Beschus Gadol Mischuso. She is davening in the merit of Yitzchak. Whose tefillos are heard more readily? Rashi tells us. Whose tefillos go, who's got the higher speed connection above? Tzadik ben Tzadik or Tzadik ben Rasha, Bas Rasha? I would have thought, righteous, the daughter of the wicked, that's impressive. If you became righteous even though you grew up in the home of a wicked, that's more impressive. If you're righteous and you grew up home in the righteous, okay, you're supposed to. You had great role models. You're supposed to be righteous. So whose tefillah is more impressive? Whose tefillah should rise faster, higher? The tzaddik. Tzaddik is bas rasha. And yet, Rashi tells us the tzaddik ben tzaddik goes higher. How is that? Why is that? If you look at, tragically, too many rabbinic families, the answer is obvious and clear. Mirtz Hashem lo aleinu. And that is, if you're the daughter or son of a wicked person, you should be so turned off, so disappointed, so repulsed by what you see, that you run the other way to be a righteous person. But if you grew up in the home of a gadol, if you grew up in the home of a righteous person, then you say, how can I measure up? How can I compare or compete? I'm not going to bother. So many children who grew up in such homes, we don't talk about it a lot. It's not nice to say or to point out, but many families struggle. Of great gadolim, of very well-known, prominent Torah personalities, scholars, righteous men and women, whose children grow up in their shadow, and because they're in that shadow, it's hard to even compare or compete. So to be a tzaddik ben tzaddik, to be a gadol ben gadol, to be a tzaddikas, the daughter of a tzaddikas, to embrace what you saw, to say, I'm going to try to fill the shoes, I'm going to come out from that shadow, I'm going to live that way, that's even more impressive. So Rivka understood and knew that. She was therefore davening in the merit of Yitzchak. Yitzchak said, my wife is davening in my merit because she knows that Tzaddik ben Tzaddik goes higher. I'm davening in the merit that she's davening in my merit. And therefore, Lenochach Ishto, that's what each was tapping into. That's what each was tapping into. Others say, this Rabbanu Mepshischa says, others say, Oso Davar, we saw last week, fascinating. We saw last week, that Avram, Sarah conceives Yitzchak right after Avram davens for Avimelech, 2 weeks ago. Right after Avram davens for Avimelech. That's when Sarah conceives Yitzchak. From there, the Talmud concludes Gemara Baba Kama, Mikan, that Kol HaMespala Bar Chaveru V'hut Sarach La'oso Davar, Hu Nenet Chila. When you need the same thing as someone else and you daven that they are answered first, you're answered first. When you daven for someone else who needs the same thing, you're answered first. We gave the Erev Shabbos Kolel on that topic 2 weeks ago, a shir on that. How does that work? Why does that work? One thing is very clear from the Ben Ish Chai and the Kaf HaChaim and all the opinions. It doesn't work when you're doing it as a cute thing to be answered first. So if somebody wants to have children, they find someone else who needs children, they daven for the other person as a scheme, so they're answered first, then it doesn't work. It has to be sincerely daven for the other person. And one of the reasons we saw was, why does that work? Because whenever we're davening for ourselves, we're biased. Whenever we're davening for ourselves, there's a self-interest. But when we're able to daven for the other person, that's a tefillah lishma. Let that person get married. Let that person have a child. Let that person make parnasa. Let that person recover from their illness. And Hashem, I'll daven for me too, but they're not connected. I care, I love, I'm asking you to help and to answer that other person. That's a tefillah lishma. That's genuine and sincere, it's selfless, and it's a merit of that, that Hashem listens to you. So here Yitzchak, he's davening for Rivka, Rivka's davening for him. Hutzarech lo'oso davar, it's true they both need the same thing, but when they prioritize and daven for the other person, that's more sincere, that's more authentic. Says Yitzchak to Hashem, I can bear the pain of barrenness, but my wife can't. Do it for her. I'm davening for her. I'm doing it and davening for her. But I want to tell you the last interpretation. We learned it together in the Emunah Shir. For those who attend or listen to the Emunah Shir, but I want to repeat it here because this is the Parsha Shir. You are headed in the right direction. You're on the right flight. Rav David Avuchatzera in his Sefer Sha'arei Tfila, and then I realized this year that the Amaras Tahoros also brings it down, as do several others. Quote from the Zera Kadosh. Who wrote the Zera Kodesh? The Zera Kodesh was written by the holy Rupshitzer. The great Rupshitzer in the Zera Kodesh writes in Parshas Toldos, Ve'atar Yitzchak Lashem Lenochach Ishto. Listen to what he says. This is unbelievable. Shekol yamav haya Yitzchak mispal Lashem. Yitzchak is always davening to Hashem. We usually put the comma, Ve'atar Yitzchak Lashem, comma, Lenochach Ishto. Yitzchak is davening to Hashem. Where? In the corner opposite his wife. For whom? Kama Lenochach Ishto. On behalf of his wife. Says the holy Rupshitzer of the Zera Kodesh. Putting the kama in the wrong place. Tvayetar Yitzchak, kama. Yitzchak is davening. What is his tefillah? Hashem Nochach Ishto. What he's davening for is Hashem. It's hard enough on my wife. She's struggling with infertility, among the most painful and difficult and lonely and struggle, among the most difficult. Hashem, let her not only not go through that, but as she goes through that journey and that suffering, let Hashem be nochach ishto. Let her not lose her connection to you, her faith in you. Let her never lose you. What's a tefillah vayatar Yitzchak? That Hashem nochach ishto. Hashem, let you always be opposite. Let you always be opposite my wife. And the Holy Rabshitzer expands it. Umahis ha-tefilas l'Hashem l'nochach ishto. Ishto, he kineses Yisrael. Ishto is kineses an allusion to the Jewish people. V'aldavar zabikesh Yitzchak avinu shi-Hashem tamid l'nochach einei kineses Yisrael. She-b'chol eisu v'chol zman yifnu kineses Yisrael l'nochach Hashem Yisbarach. Kla Yisrael are going to go through a galus. The Jewish people individually, collectively are going to go through hard times. And when they go through hard times, often that hard time is compounded not only by the physical struggle or emotional, but the spiritual. The spiritual. I read an article 2 weeks ago, I had spoken about this too, about a letter I got before Rosh Hashanah. The Jew who wrote his letter, writing off God, I'm angry, I don't see you, I'm giving up on you, I'm turning against you. And my response to him, and I can't tell you the outpouring of letters I received since, how many people feel so alone. How many are struggling to connect with Hashem? But those relationships are raw and they're real and they're authentic. Why? So many feel abandoned. So many are victims of abuse. So many have struggled, whether in their upbringing or their educational system, because they were undiagnosed at the time with ADD or other things. They were thrown out, or they were marginalized, or they were ignored, and they therefore struggled. And we have to daven for them and for all of us. Hashem nochach ishto. Ishto is Knesset Yisrael. Then not only people not have to go through that hard time, but as they're going through whatever hard time, let it not be compounded by feeling, I've abandoned, I don't have Hashem, I'm walking away. What was the tefillah vayatar Yitzchak kama? Hashem lenochach ishto. Let Hashem always be opposite his wife, always be opposite Knesset Yisrael. Perachavei, Pasuk Chaf Beis. Moving along. So she conceived by Yisrotus Abanim Bekir Bavatomerim Kein Lamazah Anochi. These children she's conceived are agitating inside her. And she says, if so, why me? Vatelech Lidrosh Es Hashem. And she goes to investigate from Hashem. She goes to investigate. Im Kein Lamazah Anochi. She goes to investigate from Hashem. So the... These children are agitating. Why are they agitating? Why are they agitating? So Rashi quotes Rabbi Seinu Darsher Lashon Ritza, running. Kishayso Overes Al Pischei Torah Hashem Ve'Ever Yaakov Ratz Umefarches Latzes. When Yaakov walks by yeshiva, he's agitating. He's trying to run. He's trying to get out. He's trying to escape. He wants to be in the yeshiva. Overes Al Pischei Avodah Zarah Esav Umefarches Latzes. When they pass the house of Avodah Zarah, Esav is agitating. Esav is trying to escape. Esav is trying to get out. Ask Rav Meir Soloveitchik, the son of the Brisker Rav. I don't understand. Kasha, lama ze daiga Rivka? Ulai lebeis ha-medrash, who wrote Selikanes Lumod. Maybe, why is she bothered? What happens? Rivka conceives these twins. She doesn't know it's twins at the time. There's no sonogram. A few years ago, a holy member of our shul came to me on Shabbos and said that his wife went to the hospital in labor. Friday night, she was feeling pain. She went in labor. He stayed back to watch all the kids. He got a call from the hospital that, in fact, she's having twins, and there's an emergency, and it's best for him to come. And he wanted to know, should he go? I said, you didn't know you were having twins? How's that possible? So apparently the Rebbe, Zatzal, held, unless medically mandated, better not to get a sonogram. Hanastaros l'Hashem Elokeinu, leave things to God. Unless you need to know for medical reasons, don't get a sonogram. No need to know what's going on inside. So he had no idea. He had no idea. It's possible even in our time. Rivka had no idea she was having twins. So what she thinks is, this is one singular child with a dual split personality. And that's what frightened her. Because very frightening for a parent is my child will have no conviction, no beliefs, no consistency. They'll just blow at the wind. They'll constantly change. They're going to be a griper and a grifter. These are new terms in today. What are gripers and grifters? Ask your grandchildren. What are gripers and grifters? They're internet personalities, influencers, who take whatever position will get them the most followers, will bring in the most income, the most money. And you're seeing it today. People who used to be our staunchest friends quickly have pivoted to become our arch enemies. Why? It gives them the biggest fan base and the most money. So that's what Rivka was afraid of. Maybe I'm carrying a griper or a grifter inside. I'm carrying someone inside who's going to grift to whoever will bring in the most followers, the most money. They pass the Beis Medrash, they think, that's where I'll get the following. They pass the Beis Avodah Zarah, that's where I'll get the most money. She's worried. She's worried. So asks Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik, the son of the Brisker Rav, why is she so worried this one child is trying to escape in both places? Maybe the one child wants to get out in the Beis Medrash to go learn. And when they're passing the Beis Avodah Zarah, you know why he wants to get out? To protest. To lead a rally. Why does she assume the reason he wants to get out is to go into the Avodah Zarah and to practice the idolatry? So listen to what he says. Chazina mehacha. Yelad shechoshek lalechaz lomod. A child who wants to go to the Beis Medrash is not itching to attend rallies and protests. If you sincerely want to sit and learn, you're not running to rallies and protests. You're sitting and you're learning. So it can't be. If he was trying to get out to go to the Beis Medrash, such a personality would not be running to go to a rally or to a protest. Interesting, interesting. The Nezer HaParsha, Rav Avram Shor Shlita, also has an interpretation, and he says, we're not going to get into it at length, but when the Torah answers, Shnei goyim bevidnech, there are two children inside you, Shnei lu'umim me'ayich yiparedu, ulom melom yamat v'rav yavod sayer. Rashi says, what does it mean? What's exactly her language? She goes to consult, Lama zeh anochi. I saw another beautiful pshat, Lama zeh anochi. She says, why am I thinking only about myself? Lanochach ishto, Yitzchak's davening opposite me. Lama zeh anochi, why am I thinking and davening only about myself? He's davening for me. I shouldn't be davening and thinking only about myself. So what is she goes to consult? And what is she told? Two nations are in your womb. Two regimes from your insides shall be separated. Shnei le'umim, mi me'ayich yiparedu. Mi me'ayich. What's ma'ayim? Rashi translates as insides. We translate it as innards. But what do we use it anatomically to mean? What does it really mean anatomically? Me'ayim are intestines. Intestines. So, Rav Shor brings down from Rashi, me'ayim he'nefradim zelu risho v'zelu tumo. From your innards, from your insides, they'll be split, one for evil and one for purity, one for goodness, one for goodness. So, a Talmud of the Kotzker Rebbe, the Ezer Eliyahu says, you see a hint and allusion from here. The fact that the Torah says, mi me'ayich, min ha-me'ayim, from your intestines, from your kishkas, from your insides, heim nifrodim zel risho v'zel tumo, you see that eating is an avoda. Eating can be a holy act, eating can be a mundane act. Eating can elevate, or eating can lower. Eating can make you a tzaddik or a rasha. Our whole parsha, a theme that runs throughout, is the attitude and the avoda of how we eat. She's a mora al atzmusa shel adam, and mushayach lekedusha or letzad hepech. Somebody who eats in a gluttonous manner, somebody who stuffs their face, someone who runs to eat, somebody who's not careful what they eat, somebody who doesn't pause to make a proper bracha with kavana, somebody who eats excessively, somebody who eats unhealthy, somebody who eats in a way they're serving the body gluttonously, has lowered and limited themselves, they're debasing themselves, they're acting like an animal. But somebody who eats mindfully with intention, someone who eats carefully, someone who eats to make a bracha, somebody who eats to live, doesn't live to eat, elevates themselves. And that's what this whole parsha is about. Mi me'ayich yiparedu. How you eat is what separates people. Are you eating in a gluttonous, debased animal way? Or are you eating in a mindful, intentional, elevated way? There's an illusion. Mi me'ayich yiparedu. From your me'ayim, from the kishkas, from the way you eat, is what separates people. And then you see the opposite. Esav the Rasha comes and says, Halitani namina adom. Give me the red stuff. Rashi says, Kaloshin mal'itan es agamal. Because Esav ate like an animal. Give me some of that stuff. Give me some of that red. Give me more. Shovel it in. The opposite of achila shel kedusha. V'zeh megala lanu ha-Torah ki idea achilaso shel kedusha ein lo shaychas el ha-bechora. Because the whole way we eat reveals our whole attitude and avoda and way of life. Mimeayich yiparedu. From the kishkas, from the attitude, from the avoda of eating is what separates people. Eating in an elevated or eating in a debased way. When Esav ultimately sells the bechora, because he's debased, because he's an animal, because he's indulging in the physical and the mundane, he forfeits his soul, his spirit, the ruchnius. So much so the Torah tells us, Vayochal vayesht vayivaz Esav is a bechora. His eating and drinking, the way that he approached eating and drinking, made him vayivaz. He dismissed, he diminished the bechora. The bechora. Hakasam megal lanu ki bizayin a bechora idei achilaso. And al adam lomar mizeh, we have to learn from here. Ki lo rak mashu ocha mashpias adam. It's not just what we eat that influences us. Gam ofen shu ochel. It's the way we eat. Our mindfulness, our intention, our presence, our portion control. It's not just what we eat, it's how we eat. With intention, with thoughtfulness. He has a beautiful essay in his Lekach V'alibov, his Nezer HaParsha, Rav Shur Shlita. I'm not going to read to you the whole thing, but this is what he says. V'zo limud HaParsha, HaBracha Tluya Ba'achilas Ha'adam. If we want blessing to flow, if we want the bracha of Gashmias, then how do we interact with our Gashmias? Do we transform it? Do we elevate it? Are we elevated by it? Or do we indulge gluttonously? Do we act impulsively? Are we mindful and present? Or are we mindless, eating like animals? The bracha of the Gashmias is directly correlated with the attitude of the eating we bring. Kafima sha'achilaso shel adam b'kedusha, kein yachol l'zgabar l'yitzahara, chol ha'bracha shenasen yitzchol Yaakov, ha'yoshiyeh b'yicholaso l'echol adagam b'tirosh b'kedusha. Rav Shur follows this throughout. We'll come back to it in a moment. When we get to the end of the parasha, the brachas that Yitzchak gives, Yaakov and Esav seem almost the same. So we'll see the subtle difference between them is all about exactly this. What's our relationship with? What's our attitude with? What is our consumption of the physical things in the world? But you see it already from the parasha, the student of the Kotzker, the Ezer Eliyahu, from these words, Mimeayich yiparedu. From the kishkas, from the attitude to eating, is what separates the tzaddik and the rasha, separates the people and what we bring to it. Perachafei pasuk lamed. Yes, we are turning the page. We have these two personalities. Vayomer Esav al Yaakov aliteno min adom adom azeki ayef anochi. Esav comes back and he says, Yaakov is busy making this delicious chalant. I'm super excited to announce that with the change of season and the cold weather that's hit Boca, it's in like the low 70s, high 60s. We now have in our incredible Reb Shaila Cafe and BRS, we've introduced soup. Last night, first it was onion soup. Not ha'adom ha'adom hazeh. Baruch Hashem, slushies, pastries, come, learn, daven, just to see friends, enjoy, make a bracha. Another reason to come to the Holy Boca Raton Synagogue. We have holy soup. So Esav comes back from the field. When you come back from your day hunting, hunting the next deal, hunting the supermarket, hunting at the rehab, wherever you're hunting, hunting the doctor's office, the waiting room, wherever you're hunting. When you come back, so now we have soup waiting for you. But hopefully you'll eat it. Mimeayach yiparedu. Eat the soup like a Yaakov, not like an Esav. Because Esav comes back and he says, Haliteni na, give me some of this red stuff. Alken karashmo Edom. And therefore he's called Red Edom. The gullus. The exile we still find ourselves in today is the Gullus Edom. That nation is still called Edom, all originated by the forefather because he asked for some of that red stuff. Some of that red stuff. Now, interesting, I never noticed this diuk. Rashi says, Vayikra Shmo, who called him? Who called him? Vayomer Esav Yaakov. Yaakov says, give me the red stuff. Al Kain, therefore, Kara Shmo, his name was called Edom. His name was called this very passive description. Who called him Edom? They got together, they made a mishaberach, the rabbi took a cup of wine, v'yikarei shmo be, wherever he is, Edom. So Rashi says, who called him? Alken kara v'yikara shmo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called him. Others say, v'yikaru shmo means kulam, everybody. That was his name on the street, that's how he was known. That was his nickname. That was his handle on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. He was probably even on TikTok because he was Esav. Not everyone on TikTok's an Esav. Now I'm going to get the emails. I'm not saying that. He was on wherever he was, whatever. His handle, his name was Esav, Edom. He was called Edom. But the Torah's ambiguous, and that's probably by design. So who called him that? So the Sefer L'Sitcha Elyon has a fascinating suggestion. Quotes from Rav Meir Epstein. Who called him that? Mikara Shemo Kain? Hu Atzmo. He himself. How? Esav said, for now on, know me as Edom. Call me Edom. When did he say that? Aide Shabikesh Betsura Kazos Halitene Nema Adom Adom Azeh Hera Shekol Mitziuso Hi Chitzonis. He demonstrated that all he cares about is the external, the physical, the mundane. Lachain aide maisezeh kara la'atzmo shem ki higder bezeh es mahuso. He revealed, I'll explain it in these words, through the way he carried himself, through his actions, through his behavior, through his choices, he earned a brand. You know, we have a brand. Every one of us has a brand. Are we generous? Are we stingy? Are we punctual? Are we late? Are we kind-hearted? Are we cruel? Are we complimentary? Are we hypercritical? What's our brand? How are we thought of? When someone says your name to someone else, what immediately comes to mind? Every one of us have a brand. The same way there's an emotional connection and relationship with brands. If I say Nike or Nordstrom, if I say Boca Raton Synagogue or Goldberg, everyone has a brand. There's an emotional connection, association, affiliation, and we immediately have things that come to mind. What's your brand? We create and we earn a brand by the way we behave, by the way that we lead our lives. Says L'Sitcha Elyon, Al Kein Kara Shemo Edom. You know who called him Edom? Esav. How? He got up and he said, that's my name, that's how I want to be referred to? No. Through his behavior, that was the brand that he earned. I said last week in Shul, Rav Druk has a beautiful insight on last week's Parsha. When Eliezer comes and he meets Rivka, he says, Basmiat, whose daughter are you? And by the way, do you have an extra bedroom? You have a guest room at home? Does your father, Beis Avich Makom Lalun, does your father in his house have a guest room, a place for me to crash? Rav Druk wonders, those are two legitimate questions, but they seem entirely disconnected. One is a shidduch question. Nu, Basmiat, where's your resume? Where is your father? Where are his tax returns? Where's the pharmacy log? Where's the lab results? Where's everything I need to know for the shidduch? Basmiat, yes, I'm being cynical. But Basmiat, who's your father? Who's your father? What's his net worth? How much does he earn? Basmiat, separate and parallel from that, I need a place to stay. Do you have a guest room? Why is that all these two questions in one pasuk? And Rav Druk has a magnificent insight. He says they're not disconnected, they're entirely intertwined. The answer to Basmiat is, does your father have a guest room I could stay tonight? I want to know, Basmiat, where do you come from? How were you raised? What's your family brand? And in order to know the answer to that question, I have one other question. Do you have room for me in your house? Because after all, Eliezer sent on a mission. Avram says, find someone from my family. How will he know if they're from the family of Avram? What midah, what character trait, what practice? Hachnasas Orchem. My Zeda. He grew up in a home that was known. Their brand in Elizabeth before Rabbi Teitz, right, Ma? Was Hachnasas Orchem. My great-grandfather would be sent to shul on Friday night. If he came home without a guest, my great-grandmother was disappointed in him. It wasn't just if there was someone, if they made an announcement, if there was a person who had no place to go, feel free, we'll squeeze them in. It was, don't you dare come home without a guest. So my grandfather, where would he sleep? They didn't have a lot of bedrooms. There was no guest suite. He slept in the bathtub. No water. There was a pillow and a blanket. That was his bed. Many or most Friday nights, because that was the family brand. Hachnasas Orchem. Not only we'll sign up begrudgingly if you can't find anywhere else, if there is no hotel motel, if nobody else gave a yes, fine. It was absolutely make us the first on the list. I don't want to hear that you put the guest somewhere else. Don't come home from shul without a guest. That was the family brand. So Eliezer is asking Rivka, Basmiat, nu, where do you come from? Where were you raised? What kind of home do you live in? And how will I know the answer to that question? Beis Avich Makom Lalun, do your parents have a place for me to stay? What's your brand? What's your brand? When Boaz meets Rus, he says, Lemi Hanara Hazos. He's observing and he sees how she's behaving and he says, Lemi Hanara, who raised her? Who does she belong to? I see her quality. I see her character. Who does she belong to? Who does she belong to? I said last Shabbos, you know, sometimes I get a call and they say, Rabbi, quick, what committee can I volunteer on? Where can I volunteer? Chevra, Chesed, is there a committee? Is there an upcoming event? Where can you plug me in? I said, that's wonderful. Let's talk about your talents, your skills, what you want to do. Why all of a sudden this awakening? Where did this come from that you're calling me and so suddenly, so urgently, you need to be volunteering, you need to be plugged in? You know what often the answer is? I have a child going into Shidduchim and my wife told me that the rabbi is going to start to get calls and the references on the list are going to start to get calls and they're going to ask, are the parents involved in anything in the community? So quick, rabbi, plug me in, sign me up, place me. I need to do as many as I can quickly. So it's good. On the one hand, it's never too late. And on the other hand, it takes a lifetime to build a brand. If your brand all those years until your child's ready to date is you never do anything, you don't show up, you don't volunteer, you don't give, that's not you. It's hard to change your brand overnight. Overnight. So it's such a beautiful insight. Al Kein Kara Shmo Edom. And therefore his name was called Edom. Who? Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Kulam, the street, society. But says L'Sitcha Elyon, you know who gave him that name? He gave it himself. We don't label or name ourselves punctual or late, generous or stingy, hospitable. We don't name ourselves literally. It means our actions, our actions. Pirkei Avos quotes sages, Hu Haya Omer. Why does it tell us? He used to say. Just tell us what they said. Hu Haya Omer. So many interpret Hu Haya Omer means the way he lived his life said this about him. He never said it explicitly. He never actually articulated. He never enunciated the words. But who he was and how he lived, Haya Omer. It spoke volumes about who he was. Basmiat, Lemia Narazos, Alkein Karashimo. The theme, the common denominator of all these ideas is how we live our lives, our behavior, it becomes our brand. It says everything about who we are. Perachavez Chavav, Pasuk Tesvav. Moving right along. There's a famine. We see, not the first time. We've seen this story before. Yitzchak has to run. He goes down. He's not allowed to leave Israel. He's an Ola Tamima. But his famine forces him to the Plishtim, Gerara. And Hashem tells him, don't go down to Mitzrayim. Come to Grar. And he goes through the same story as his father. She's my sister. And then Avimelech takes her. And then Hashem has to intervene, intercede. Avimelech confronts Yitzchak. We've seen this whole story before. Chavav, Tesvav. Keep going. And then the prophetic dispute over the wells. What happens? Vayashav Yitzchak vayachbar es beros mayim ashechavri me Avram Aviv. Vayisatmum haplishtim achrei mos Avram. Avram had dug wells. Now, it means literally, but it's also an allusion, a metaphor for symbolically. To dig wells is to reveal the hidden blessing and to make it accessible and available to others. And that, after all, was Avram's mission. That was Avram's life, to dig wells, wells of wisdom, wells of truth, wells of blessing. And the Plishtim came and they filled them all up. So much so that Yitzchak had to dig them all again. And he gave him the same names as the names that his father had given. Rabbi Soloveitchik has a comment here, Asher Chafru, that were dug by his father previously. On these words, Asher Chafru says, Rabbi Soloveitchik, Yitzchak's birth was connected with laughter. According to some, The pasuk in Bereishis is translated as follows. And Sarah said, Hashem has made laughter for me. Everyone that hears will laugh on account of me. Rashi and Unklus render the word not as laughter, but as joy. Other commentators, among them Rav Yonos ben Uzziel, translate the word laughter literally. People laughed at the event. They didn't believe that Yitzchak would inherit Avram, that he, a young lad of the new generation, would continue to carry out Avram's visions and laws, that he would engage in building altars and calling in the name of Hashem. When Avram dies, people said his entire philosophy will perish. His altars will be dismantled. They didn't hate Yitzchak. They belittled him. They laughed. They derided. But they did not hate. They didn't hate Yitzchak. They laughed at him. He was a laughingstock. Why? They thought, Avram, these old and archaic and outdated ideas, ha, Yitzchak, the new generation, they're not going to embrace. The new generation, I don't even know what letter in the alphabet we're up to. Millennials, Generation Z, Generation this, Generation that, whatever is the latest that we're up to, they're going to laugh. Archaic, outdated, they can't relate to. They derided, but they didn't hate. Years passed. Those who were wont to laugh at Yitzchak and the hopes that Avram pinned on him suddenly began to ask, is Yitzchak really sincere in his efforts to resuscitate Avram's work? What is going on? They rubbed their eyes. Yitzchak was indeed continuing with Avram's enterprises. He was fighting for the same ideals, doing the same things his father had done. And the laughter ceased. They stopped making jokes on Yitzchak's account. They began to fight against him. In place of derision came jealousy and hatred. The cynics, scoffers of the time, the Leitzanei Ador who were wont to bandy jokes, stories, and slander about Avram and Sarah, suddenly became the wicked of the time, who thought to crush Yitzchak. Now they recognized his existence. Now they felt hatred and jealousy. Jealousy, as usual, leads to oppression and persecution, but also brings about respect. They began to hate Yitzchak, but they also began to respect him. In this attitude toward Yitzchak, we may discern the first victory of Avram's house. It is better to be an object of jealousy and hatred, which lead to respect, than an object of pity, which is always accompanied by derision and contempt. I found this insight that the Rav gave many decades ago. Again, it's timeless, and it's just as true today. He could have offered it today, because we too, those same cynics and scoffers that we started with, who begin with, stam leitzanos, it's illogical, irrational, doesn't make sense. I'm just asking questions, I'm just making a joke, I'm just dropping a cynical comment. It becomes truth, it's pernicious, it's dangerous, because it can penetrate and it become true. Just like today, those who look at the Jews and say, their ideas, their dress, it's outdated, it's archaic, it's done. But that laughter has turned into jealousy and hate that also come from respect, disproportionately giving us credit. Jews control this, Jews are in charge of that, all of America decides because of the Jews. First of all, if you look at the outcome of the election in New York, clearly Jews have very little control over almost anything. We now don't have control of California. We can't influence New York. We have so little control. We don't determine outcomes. If the president gives Saudi Arabia these planes without normalizing with Israel, I don't think anyone is following orders from Israel or from the Jews. It's irrational. It's illogical. It's not evidence-based. But it doesn't matter, because the Leitzanei Ador just keep repeating it over and over and over, and it goes from laughter to jealousy, which leads to oppression and persecution and hate, and it's laced with a little bit of respect. And says Rav Soloveitchik, better at least to be the object of jealousy and hatred, which lead to respect, than an object of pity, which is always accompanied by derision and by contempt. Rabbi Sachs also has a comment here. Says Rabbi Sachs, and the new Chumash that are now available for you to read on Shabbos or any day of the week here in the Boca Raton Shul. Rabbi Sachs writes, centuries later, Paro will say at the beginning of the book of Exodus, you see the Jewish people are many and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them in case they increase. And if war breaks out, they may join our enemies and fight against us, escape the land. That same word, atzum, Paro describes Klal Yisrael. We say it also in the Seder. How are the Jewish people described? Why are they a danger and threat? They are atzum, powerful. Same word as Avimelech's stated reason for sending Yitzchak away. You've become much too powerful for us. Our passage signals the birth of one of the deadliest of human phenomena, anti-Semitism. Here it is. Traces itself all the way back to here. Amy Chua's thesis in her book World on Fire, writes Rabbi Sacks, is that any conspicuously successful minority will attract envy that may deepen into hate and provoke violence. All three conditions are essential. The hated group must be conspicuous, otherwise it would not be singled out. It must be successful, otherwise it would not be envied. And it must be a minority, otherwise it would not be attacked. More specifically, what gives rise to anti-Semitism is the phenomenon of wealth without power. Anti-Semitism is a complex protean phenomenon, because anti-Semites must be able to hold together two beliefs that seem to contradict one another. Jews are so powerful they should be feared, and at the same time so powerless that they can be attacked without fear. Emotions are not rational. There's a world of difference between rationality and rationalization. Wealth without power precisely describes the position of Yitzhak among the Plishtim. The Plishtim do not ask Yitzhak to share his water with them. They do not ask him to teach them how he discovered a source of water that they, residents of the place, did not. They do not even simply ask him to move on. The act of stopping up the wells harms them more than it harms Yitzhak. It robs them of a resource that will in any case become theirs once the famine ends and Yitzhak returns home. More than hate destroys the hated, it destroys the hater. More than hate destroys the hated, it destroys the hater. In this too, Yitzhak and the Plishtim are a portent of what will eventually happen to the Jewish people in Egypt. By the time of the plague of locusts, we read, Pharaoh's officials tell him, how long must we leave this man to ensnare us? In effect, they say to Pharaoh, you may think you're harming the Jewish people, you're harming us. This is the self-destructive nature of hate. Those calling for BDS against Israel, could you imagine? Now Israel came out, produced a non-dairy milk. Everyone see the news of that yesterday? They can draw water out of thin air, Israeli technology. They can help you drive where you want to go, knowing where the police are hiding. Ways, the Intel chip in your laptop and your phone, comes from Israel. So many of the security, high cyber security, is from Israel. And now just this week, they invented, I didn't follow it closely, what was it? It's milk that doesn't come from a cow. It's not almond or tofu or some other, or soy. It's lab-grown milk, is that what it is? Any of you people follow the news here? Ignoramus boors? No, nobody saw this news? Only the lactose intolerant? Svardim, I understand why you didn't bother following the news. But if you're Ashkenazi, what was your excuse for not following the news about a dairy-free milk? That's a gift to you. No? Anyway, so those calling for BDS, they're punishing themselves. They're punishing themselves to alienate and isolate Israel, to cut off and shut off Israel. That form of anti-Semitism is still true today. It's irrational. And again, it's the exact same story that tells itself 3,300 years, more, 4,000 years, still telling the same story again and again. Wealth without power. The contradiction that on the one hand, Jews are so powerful, they should be feared. Isn't that what our enemies are saying right now? And yet, at the same time, so powerless that we can attack them without fear. Which is it? It's irrational. It makes no sense. He writes in Nezer HaParsha, Shor also writes about Plishtim. He says the very word Plishtim comes from this. Klipas Plishtim. He writes, the Lashon of Plishtim, the Baal HaTanya writes, the Baal HaTanya in Torah or Parshat B'Shalach, Plishtim is Lashon Mavoi HaMefulash. Moshe Vleitzim L'Yashav Elu Plishtim. Kizelu Mazeh Asa Elokim Plishtim B'Kdusha Plishtim B'Klipa Plishtim B'Kdusha B'Chinas Es Galas HaSimcha B'Dvekas Hashem B'Filosh B'Giloi Plishtim B'Klipa Heim HaLeitzanim In Yerachavas Pivkir Tzono. So all the Be'eros, all these wells, Sosman Plishtim, the Plishtim filled them up. Plishtim is Miloshon Mavai HaMafulash. It's something which is split. What is the core root of the attitude of the Plishtim? Leitzanus, cynicism, scoffers. What we're seeing right now is just a repetition of what we saw so many times before. Okay, we didn't get to the brachas at the end of the parsha. V'yitein lecha, yitein v'yachzor v'yitein. Where's the bracha? Yitein v'yachzor v'yitein. The biggest bracha is, give me a huge check and I never have to come back to you again. Where's the bracha? Give me enough for today and I'll come back to you tomorrow and I'll ask you again. And then I'll come back to the day after and then I'll come back to the day after. The bigger bracha would be, give me everything I'll need for the end of time in one shot. Not that I have to keep coming back. What's v'yitein lecha? Yitain v'yachzor v'yitain. That's not a bracha. That's a klala. Only it is a bracha, a huge bracha, but we don't have time. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, stay holy. Have a wonderful week. We should hear besoros tovos, yeshuos, v'nechamos.